Well, good morning. Welcome to Sunday number three of our video messages here from Christian Outreach Center. We're glad that you tuned in today. I hope that you guys are doing well. We know that more and more of you are either staying home or quarantining or forced quarantining or whatever. We just pray that you, we're seriously praying for your spiritual, physical, and emotional health. We know that being locked in a home with kiddos and or spouses that you're used to routines and all that gets thrown off, it can mess with your emotions a little bit, can it?
A bit.
So we just pray that you're transitioning well and that you're healthy physically, spiritually, and emotionally. We hope the kingdom of God is about wholeness. It's about fullness. Mm-hmm. And
yes,
spiritually, obviously, is a huge concern of ours, but the other two are as well. And so we're hoping that we're speaking to things that cross all of those boundaries, borders, because that's what we're meant to live, is the full life, the whole life, the life of fullness. So we've been talking about being people of peace and presence.
Yep.
Wow, what a challenge in these times.
Indeed.
honestly, what a testimony, an example. How many times have we talked about maybe someone in our life that just maybe doesn't want to talk about God, or they don't want to talk about the Bible, or they get frustrated when you have to pray again. What a time in this crisis for the people of God.
Yes.
To live differently.
Amen.
To think differently, to walk differently, where we're not strangling someone to listen to me about Jesus.
Yes.
Where the presence of God and the peace of God in our lives is sending such a loud message that we don't even have to say anything sometimes. And they're inviting the conversation to happen. So that's our challenge. That's our prayer. Amen. That's our hope. Amen. is that the church of God is being the church of God in such a way. Maybe we can't go outside of our doors or outside of our boundaries of our homes, but we can reach out either digitally or with a letter or a phone call. I just was talking to someone the other day who's been, it's just God put it on their heart to make phone calls. And so every day they've kind of just taking a person or two or each week taking a person or two. And we would challenge you to do the same, not just with immediate family, but with your church family and even with people that maybe don't know Jesus. What a great time for us as the church to be reaching out and to be touching lives. So, so
amen.
Moving on, continuing to talk about peace and presence. Sunday number one, we kind of talked about kind of the enemy of peace is anxiety.
Yep.
The different ways that anxiety shows up. You know, it's not always just this paralyzing fear, but sometimes anxiety shows up in a way that might look like frustration or anger or just antsiness. That can be anxiety as well. And we just talked through that and kind of identified that. And then last week, you talked.
Yeah, a little bit. Last week was a lot about control and surrender. Ooh. And just this illusion of control that a lot of us tend to operate in, unfortunately. And we really kind of hit head on this idea that a lot of maybe what we think is peace is really intertwined with that illusion of control. And so control is an illusion. So any peace that's associated or connected to that illusion of control is fake. It's also an illusion.
Yeah.
And so, so that's kind of, that was a tough sermon for me to definitely even, I mean, that's something that God is awakening in my heart is, hey, Stephen, like this is what you think you have control of. And here's what I need you to do about that. Surrender.
Right. And I love the point that you made that on our best days.
Yes.
On our best days, we can control what's inside of this circle.
Exactly.
On our best days. Yeah. And but we have this illusion of wanting to control everything else.
Yep.
Because we feel that by I'm just kind of repeating you now, but by wrangling and wrestling that control over other things outside of our life, which is an illusion, we don't really have control over it, but it brings us some sense of peace, but it's not true. It's fake news.
It is fake.
It is. So today, I would just like to talk a little bit, just kind of touch on it, open up the subject a little bit of of what role does peace really have in our life? Like often it just got, we kind of just talked about it last, we did the little love, joy, peace, right? Mm-hmm. We rattle that off. We learned that in Sunday school. It's a fruit of the Spirit. But what role should peace have biblically? What role does peace have in our life? What does it do? I just want to rattle off a couple things for you this morning before we get to some verses. But one of the things that, as Stephen and I were talking this last week, I was just saying how there are things in our life, things of God, such as maybe like love. Love is something that we can really wrap our minds around. We can identify love. We know what it feels like. We know what it looks like. We know what it sounds like. And especially we spent so many weeks in 1 Corinthians 13 talking about what love really is. Mm-hmm. Love is patient. Love is kind. You know, does not envy, does not boast. There's a checklist we can go through and we can identify love. I can spot love. When you see someone who's maybe suffering at the end of life and their spouse is meeting their needs and day in and day out and caring for them. When you see a mom, you know, waking up at 3 a.m. and changing the 17th diaper that day, you know, and the last thing that she wants to be doing is getting out of bed because she hasn't slept in 3 weeks. I mean, that's love. You can see that sacrificial love. Yes. It's easy to identify. Yes. Or hope. We can wrap our minds around hope because most of us have know what it's like to live without hope. Like we've been in situations where maybe we've not been spiritually alert. We haven't been kind of doing the right things, or we've just went through a rough time and just we kind of just got sucked into the negative of things, and we just have lost hope, and then something turns around, or we repent, or we start pursuing God again, and all of a sudden our hearts fill with hope. And like we know what it's like to live with hope. We're like, yes, this is not as good as it's going to get. There's going to be a better tomorrow, and God is still alive. Mm-hmm. And that, wow, I'm just filled with hope. And we know what that is. We can define that. But we get to something like peace, and we go, well, yeah, I don't feel peace right now. I want peace. Mm-hmm. But what is it? And the first point that I wanted to make is peace can be this overarching, tangible, real expression of God that we feel in our life. And gurgly tighties. I know. Not sure if the mic's picking that up or not, but Stephen is hungry.
Evidently.
There's no peace there. So
I'll put more water in it and see what happens.
So it's the exciting adventures of doing live recorded video.
Exactly.
So I was thinking about it like this. Sometimes we think of peace is number one, kind of on a worldly level, is just kind of the absence of conflict. Peace means
that's good.
Absence of conflict, but that's kind of like a base level. That's kind of without God, you can experience that.
Mm-hmm.
And so just. I can be as worldly as I can be, and if we're not fighting, then that's what I would call peace. And it's a dictionary definition, and it's accurate. But that's not really what the Bible's talking about when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit of peace. And what I was thinking of is so many of us define love. Agape love is what we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. But if I say love, most of us think about it like a Hallmark movie love. You know, it's sweaty palms, it's heart fluttering, it's Twitter-pated. I mean, it's, you know, butterflies. Like, that's what we think of as love. And, of course, we know that that's Eros love. It's the feeling kind of love. Or we even think of, like, phileo love, which is like this, that's my soulmate. It's my, and, you know, the kind of the connection of it. When really, agape love is this love that's independent or not dependent, however you want to say it, on feelings. It's this choice. It's a decision. It's an expression of God's character. Yeah. And we need God to have that kind of love. Mm-hmm. We can't muster it up on our own, at least in a sustained capacity. And so we think of love as this feeling, but we know it's really not because we walk through the Bible. I think the same is to be said about peace.
Yep.
We think that peace is really just a feeling. And it's not. It is just as Eros love is a very legitimate expression in a marriage relationship. Yes. I should get butterflies around my wife. I should enjoy, you know, expressions of that. But that's not all there is. And the same with peace. I should feel peace in my heart, but it's not all there is. There's a position of peace, just like there's an expression of love that doesn't have to do with feelings. There's an expression of peace that doesn't necessarily have to do with peace butterflies in my heart, exactly. If I can say it kind of like that.
Boston would argue it's more than a feeling.
It's more than a feeling. Peace is more than a feeling. So that's kind of my first point, is peace is more than a feeling. It's almost really faith-based, because it's this expression of God in our life when we're walking in His presence, that my emotions might not feel peaceful right now. Things might just be all rumbly-jumbly. And yet underneath that all, there's this strength and this... It's the peace of God. There's this underlying foundation that we can walk in, that we have an invitation to walk in.
Yes,
that's good. As we're standing on that, we can say, no, I'm not going to listen to my emotions in this moment. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that peace can be tangible. Another thing that we were talking about is so many of us, when we get into a situation like this where things are out of our control, or when we get a bad report from the doctor, or when we've been home a little too long with our kids or our spouse and there's not enough room in the house, so to speak, and we're just getting maybe a little grumpy, we kind of treat peace like maybe an Advil.
Oh, yeah.
Or a Band-Aid.
Yep. Yep.
Right?
A temporary fix. Like, we're just going to cover up all this turmoil.
I'm feeling, and so you know what I need from God? I need some peace from God right now.
Yes.
And we treat the peace of God kind of like this temporary Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. Isn't that so true?
Yeah.
And the problem with doing that is I begin to treat the peace of God like a commodity.
Ooh.
And I want to go to the God store. And I want to buy 2 bottles of peace today. I'm not going to drugs, and I'm not going to pornography, and I'm not going to things like that. But I'm going to go to God, and I'm going to take the peace of God kind of as an Advil. Yikes. The danger with that, and that's available, and it is, and we run to worship, and we run to His presence kind of as a quick fix instead of as a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that is, what happens when the crisis subsides? What happens when the doctor calls and says, because we've been praying, and the doctor calls back and says, oh, guess what? The lab got it wrong. It's a great report. What happens then? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't need the Advil anymore.
Yeah.
And that's where the danger is.
You're in the gap then.
Then we're in the gap.
You're in that gap.
If you didn't watch last week, please. That was one of the most profound things that I've heard recently in on that issue is that gap between crisis and victory, you know, when things aren't going wrong. And walking in peace in the gap is, it's got to not be a commodity from God.
Yep.
It has to be a byproduct of a lifestyle of presence.
That's good.
So
that's really good.
If this is all you hear today, that's good stuff.
That
walking in peace and presence in the gap, when things aren't going haywire, it takes that sustained lifestyle of viewing the peace of God as more than just a quick fix or a Band-Aid.
Yep.
It's got to be something that I invest my life in, because it's free. It's offered to us by the cross of Jesus Christ, His victory, His resurrection that we're going to be talking about next week. But we can't treat it just like a quick fix, like a Band-Aid.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I think of, like, when you're talking about this right now, like, where my mind went right away was Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, yeah.
And just the peace that He portrayed.
Yeah.
That, you know, here He is the eve before His execution on the cross. Or even Jesus on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
Just the peace that He portrayed as He's hanging there dying, and a guy's asking Him to come with Him into paradise.
Right.
Right.
And another one's mocking Him. Yeah.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
He could sustain that because He practiced a lifestyle. We're actually going to talk about that if we have enough time.
Yes.
So another thought that we're just kind of some random thoughts that Stephen and I were talking about just on the as we kind of cracked open. We've talked about the negative side, you know, anxiety and control. Now we're kind of talking about, we're framing what peace really is in our lives and what it can offer, what it should look like. One of the other things that we were talking about, a thought that I had, is kind of referencing the life of Jesus, is that peace, walking in peace, has the power to disrupt the plans of the enemy in your life.
Yes,
it is an offensive weapon. The peace of God. Think about this. The peace of God, when we're walking in peace, when life is throwing things at us, when the enemy is throwing things at us, when our own mind is throwing things at us, if our feet are planted in the peace of God, it's just bouncing off. Now, our emotions want to react to that, and our mind wants to react to that, but when we are planted in the peace of God, we don't have to react to that, because that's where we're living. And because all authority has been given to Jesus, he said that, and so he's given that authority to us. And so often the only power that the enemy has over our life is the power that we give to him in that moment.
That's good really stuff. Good. That is really good.
Often, the only power that the enemy can have in any given circumstances, oftentimes, only comes from what we give him. So if the enemy's throwing things at you, life is throwing things at you, your mind is throwing things at you, the enemy gains power by our reactions, by us saying, why, yes, I'd like to participate in this dysfunction right now. I would like to be party to this nonsense, and I'm going to join into that. And it's what you talked about last time about, about reactions versus intentional living, responses versus reactions. When we're not walking in a sustained level of peace, we tend to react. And by doing that, we give up our Holy Spirit control of the situation.
Yes, we do.
We hand the keys over. We're like, I've got all power in this situation because Jesus gave it to me. But you know what? The situation's knocking on my door. Here, I'm just going to give control to that over to the situation. And then I'm going to freak out afterwards about all the things that happened in that. And I'm going to complain about that when really it was me that gave over control of that. Yikes.
So we're called to surrender control, but surrender it to God.
Not to the situation. Do you see how important that is?
Here's
the thing. When we're honest about what we're trying to control, it puts us in a position of power because we surrender that to God. And then when this false idea, our reactions come up, we won't be tempted to surrender control there because we've practiced surrendering control to God instead of surrendering control to my kids' tantrums or to the doctor's report or to the latest news report on the COVID-19 numbers or to the economics reports that are coming in or to the layoff that I just got, the pink slip that I just got last week.
It's a wild roller coaster ride from control freak to victim.
Yeah, it really is.
Oofta.
So we said last time, it kind of implied that disruptions, things like the coronavirus thing, things like layoffs, things like economic crises, things like doctor reports, that can dismantle our fake peace, the peace that we've had that we thought was really peace. That's what you talked about last time. Yep. So just like disruptions, just like these crises in our life have the power to dismantle our fake peace, our real peace has the power to disrupt the enemy's plans.
That is very good.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
So walking in real peace. Proverbs 26:20 says that without wood, a fire goes out. And without us participating in the devil's shenanigans, and without us reacting, if we choose to respond instead of react, without us reacting, often it just goes away. Or at least the consequences of our reactions go away. Yes. I mean, the bad situations are still going to be there. But the cleanup on aisle 6 and 7 and 10, that goes away because I didn't react to this.
Yes.
So, yeah, my emotions might be going crazy within me right now. Yes, my mind wants to go to all these dark places. Yeah, I've been in isolation for 9 days or 14 days or 23 days. And isolation is not healthy for the body of Christ.
True.
So we've got to be vigilant and diligent about being intentional, walking in peace and living in peace and being in the Word of God and being in worship and being in contact as much as we can through phone or media or some way with other voices in our life that aren't living in our head. But as we stand in peace, we're empowered to not give control of those situations over to the dark side and end up in a place that is the roller coaster ride that you were just talking about. Peace is a safeguard. I wrote this down. Peace is a safeguard against self-destructive actions and reactions. And so
key part of that is self-destructive. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Yes.
And kind of the natural conclusion of that conversation is kind of the next thing on the list, that walking in the peace of God, a sustained peace of God, the real peace of God, where it's in Him and coming from Him, being empowered and implanted in our lives, walking in that place of peace consistently, that place of peace is a place of power.
Oofta, that's
it's
good.
It's a place of power. Mm-hmm. We were talking at a men's breakfast, men's study, the last one we had a couple weeks ago, that kind of the armor of God, our feet are shod with the gospel of peace. Mm-hmm. Peace is where we walk. And so to walk in peace is putting on the armor of God. One of the ways that we put on the armor of God is really walking in that peace. It's really seeking His face, His presence, His heart for our lives for that day, and walking in that peace. I want to read a couple more verses to you. Mm-hmm. Psalm 119, verse 165 says this, "Great peace have those who love your law." We talked about misplaced loves last time.
Yep.
Loving the law of God, loving the word of God, loving His instructions for our life. Listen to the second part of that verse. "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble." Where do we stumble? It's at the foot level. So when we're walking in peace by loving the word of God, by loving that, by drawing our instruction and our essence from the presence of God and His word, nothing's going to trip us up. Our feet are in the right place. Mm-hmm. Let me read one more. Luke chapter 1, 78 and 79. This is Zechariah's song and prophecy. "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven," verse 79 says, "to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Mm-hmm. And it's talking about just this intro, really talking about His son at that time, because the first part is talking about Jesus being revealed and then what His son John was going to be doing. And to shine on those living in darkness, isn't that a time for us right now? I know that was a prophetic word for back then, but what about right now? That mm-hmm. verse still speaks to us today. Mm-hmm. It could be said we're living in darkness and in the shadow of death.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. To guide our feet into the path of peace. Mm-hmm. I want my feet to be standing on the mm-hmm. foundation of peace. Mm-hmm. You see, the life of Jesus, I said we were going to get into that just a little bit, really quickly. Jesus lived His life in the exhale.
That's good. I like that statement.
Jesus lived His life in the exhale. Jesus, you know what one of the frustrating things was for the disciples? They got torqued off because He wasn't responding or actually reacting.
Reacting.
He was responding. And they expected Him to react. Jesus, look at Him. And it's not said explicitly, but if you spend some time marinating in the gospel stories, you'll see it right away. You'll see, why aren't you? Mm-hmm. You need to. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Come on. And they're just, they're freaked out by Jesus's lack of freaking out.
Exactly.
They're just constantly, Jesus, how can you be sleeping? Jesus, how can you be disappeared on a mountainside praying? Jesus, mm-hmm. how can you be not attending to these needs? Don't you know? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And Jesus refused to step into their dysfunction.
Wow.
He refused to step into their reactiveness because He spent a lifestyle developing peace by walking in His Father's word, by walking in His Father's presence. So our challenge is to walk in. So Jairus comes to Him, says, "My daughter's dying." Jesus responds out of compassion, starts walking, walking through the crowd, and all of a sudden, this woman with the issue of blood comes up and touches the hem of His garment. He stops, and Jesus has the peace and presence of mind to stop and say, "Hey, healing went out of me." Mm-hmm. And all the while, the situation is saying, you need to get to this house before mm-hmm. the girl dies. Mm-hmm. And Jesus had everything he needed in that moment because he walked in peace and he spent time in his Father's presence. Hmm. Heals the lady. The tools were available because he spent time in peace. So the tools were readily available. Then they come and say, ah, it's too late. Jesus said, no, it's not too late. Let's go do what we need to do. And if you spend time walking in peace, you'll never be early or you'll never be late. You'll always be walking in God's timing. Jesus was never responding to that or reacting to that. He was always responding. Jesus is sleeping in a boat. His disciples are freaking out. Don't you know we're all going to die? Jesus gets up. Because he lived in peace, had the tools available, peace, be still. Mm-hmm. Probably went back to sleep. Or got frustrated at his disciples because he was in the middle of a good nap. I don't know. It doesn't say that, but I would be. Mm-hmm. And so walking in peace allows us to minister out of a place of abundance.
Yes.
We have every tool. We have every mindset. We have every place in our spirit that we need to have for that moment right now. Our time is getting away, but I want to read a couple verses. These are the verses that I wanted to get to. And I know I've been talking a lot here.
You're all right, man. I'm taking notes on what you're saying, buddy.
I want to contrast two things in these last couple verses as we're winding down here. In John 16:33, Jesus was getting ready to leave, and it was going to be a time of turmoil for his disciples. And he was telling them these things. Verse 33 of chapter 16 in John says this, I have told you these things so that in me, mark that, in me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I want to contrast these two things really quick.
That's good.
In Christ there's peace. In the world there's trouble. All right? Now, we have to live our lives in the world, but I want to say that there's even a deeper meaning to this, that on every day, at any given moment, I can be in the world or I can be in Christ. Mm-hmm. I can be looking for things to satisfy my soul from the world, from even good things, because there's good things in the world, things like family, things like job, things like my identity as a worker or a minister or a father. Like, if I'm not getting what I need from Jesus at that moment, then I'm getting it from somewhere else. And so Jesus said, in me, there's peace. Yes. So in this moment, am I in Christ? And I'm not talking about being in Christ like I'm going to heaven. Obviously, we're in him, right? But I'm talking about, am I living in Christ? So you could say walking in the spirit or walking in the flesh. All right, one more verse. John 14, 26 and 27 says this, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace, number one, I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled and do not be afraid. Jesus gives peace, and I'm gonna go so far as to say the world gives peace. I don't give like the world gives. I give peace, the world gives peace. Stephen, you told us last time you essentially defined that the world's peace is fake peace. It's peace that we find in the gap. It's peace that we find from a bottle. It's peace that we find from a relationship. It's peace that we find from working too long of hours, and I'm just burying myself in my work. And that's fake peace, guys. And that kind of peace leads to the road of destruction. It leads to, Stephen said it last time, to the cursed life. The cursed life. Guys, we want to walk in the blessed life.
Yes.
And so am I finding peace in Christ, or am I finding peace in the world? Real quick, we just made a checklist here, and I'll read them, but they'll hopefully be up on the screen. Am I having, how do I know if I'm walking in Christ or in the world? Am I having more reactions or more responses today? Where am I finding comfort? Does my peace level go up and down a lot during the day? My experienced peace, my felt peace. Is it really peaceful in the morning, but then the kids are not behaving, and so now it's going really down? Is it really peaceful at noon, but then I get a call from my boss and it's really going down again? Is it on a roller coaster? Because the peace of God is consistent. And the fourth thing, is there fruit of the Spirit showing up in my life today?
Yep.
Those are great checklists to know if I'm walking in Christ. We love you guys. Mm-hmm. Have a blessed day.